Chapter 18, Saving and Investment Equality, page 149. All economists believe in the equality of saving and investment, but they differ as to the manner in which this equality is brought about. We study the following views on this problem. The classical view. The classicists believe in the existence of a fully employed economy where saving and investment are always equal. According to them, saving and investment are a function of the rate of interest. Algebraically, S is a function of capital R and I is a function of capital R, where R is the rate of interest. Therefore, S is equal to I. In a period of less than full employment, the inequality between the two is obvious, which can be brought to equality through the mechanism of interest rate. When the rate of interest rises, saving rises and investment declines. On the other hand, with a fall in the rate of interest, saving falls and investment increases. If at any time saving is less than investment, a rise in the rate of interest brings a decline in investment and increase in saving till saving equals investment. On the contrary, when saving is more than investment, the rate of interest falls, investment increases and saving declines till the two are equal at the new interest rate. This is explained in figure 1, where saving and investment are measured on the horizontal axis and the rate of interest on the vertical axis. To briefly explain figure 1, we have saving and investment on the x-axis, interest rate on the y-axis. There is the saving curve SS1, which is at an angle, rising curve as we move on the right hand side on the x-axis. Then there are three investment curves, II, I1, I1 and I2, I2. II intersects SS1 at point E, I1, I1 intersects SS1 at point E1 and I2, I2 intersects SS1 at point E2. Corresponding to E, interest rate is R. Corresponding to E1, interest rate is R1. Corresponding to E2, interest rate is R2. The three investment curves are such that I1 is higher than II and I2, I2 is lower than II. Going back to the text, SS1 is the saving curve which moves upwards to the right with the rise in the interest rate. II is the investment curve. Both intersect at point E when the rate of interest is OR. The economy is in full employment equilibrium because both saving and investment equal RE. Suppose investment increases, shown by I1, I1 curve, to RH. Suppose investment increases, shown by I1, I1 curve, to RH. Please note RH. H is a point on the line RE when it is extended to meet I1, I1 curve. So, but saving is RE, which is less than RH investment. The equality between the two can be brought about by raising the rate of interest to OR1, where the SS1 curve intersects the I1, I1 curve at E1. On the contrary, if the investment falls from RE to RK, shown by I2, I2 curve. So please note again, RK, K is the point on the I2, I2 curve, which here looks similar to the point E2. So saving RE is greater than RK, and a fall in the rate of interest to OR2 brings the equality between saving and investment to E2. Keynes's criticism of the classical view. Keynes criticized the classical view about saving investment equality on the following grounds. A. Keynes does not agree with the classical view that the equality between saving and investment is brought about through the mechanism of interest rate. According to him, it is changes in income which bring the two to equality rather than the rate of interest. B. He also differs with the classicists that this equality via the rate of interest shifts only the investment curve and that the saving curve does not change. Keynes's view is that whatever the investment curve changes, Keynes's view is that whenever the investment curve changes, there is a change in the saving curve also. C. Further, Keynes refutes the classical view that saving and investment are equal at the full employment level. He opines that since full employment is a rare phenomenon, saving investment equality is found at less than full employment level. The Keynesian view. Keynes put forth two views with regard to the saving investment equality. The first is the accounting or the definitional equality between saving and investment, which is used in national income accounting. It tells us that actual saving and actual investment are always equal at all times and at any level of income. Page 150. The second is the functional equality. In this sense, saving and investment are equal only at the equilibrium level of income. In other words, in the functional sense, saving and investment are not only equal, but they are also in equilibrium. We study these views in detail below. 1. The accounting or definitional equality. Keynes wrote in his general theory that saving and investment are necessarily equal in amount for the community as a whole, being different aspects of the same thing. Note 1, J. M. Keynes, opposite page 74. In order to show it, he defined saving and investment in such a manner as to establish their equality. Both saving and investment in the current period are defined as the excess of current income over current consumption, YT minus CT, so that they are necessarily equal. Symbolically, ST is equal to YT minus CT, equation 1. IT is equal to YT minus CT, equation 2. Since YT minus CT is common in equations 1 and 2, we have ST is equal to IT, where say S is saving, I is investment, Y is income, C is consumption, and T is the current period. Keynes also established this equality in another way. He defined income in the current period YT as equal to current consumption CT plus current investment IT, and saving in the current period ST as the excess of current income over current consumption. Thus, YT is equal to CT plus IT. This is equation small 1. YT is equal to ST plus CT. This is equation small 2. Or ST is equal to YT minus CT. Therefore, from equations small 1 and small 2, we have CT plus IT is equal to ST plus CT, or IT is equal to ST. Thus, saving and investment are the same thing. They are both the difference between income and consumption. So defined, they are always equal. This equality, or rather identity, between saving and investment, which Keynes established in his general theory, has been severely criticized. 1. Relationship a truism. According to Haberler, if we accept these definitions, S and I are necessarily equal over a period of time because they are identically defined. It then becomes nonsensical to speak of or to imply differences between them. Ohlin has also described the relation between saving and investment as a case of equality X definitions. Thus, this identity relationship is a truism and lacks an adjusting mechanism. 2. Decisions taken by different people. It is difficult to understand how this equality can take place in actuality, because saving and investment decisions are taken by different groups of people. Investment decisions are taken by businessmen on the basis of the rate of interest they have to pay for capital borrowed and the return they expect from it. On the other hand, decisions to save are based on different current and future requirements for saving by millions of individual families. Thus, it is not possible for total saving to equal total investment in the economy except by coincidence. 3. Lagless analysis. This accounting equality between saving and investment is a lagless analysis, which fails to explain the process of saving-investment relation. The saving-investment equality in this sense is an exercise in static analysis. Keynes failed to describe the actual dynamic process of adjustment between saving and investment. 4. Does not distinguish between financial sources. According to Dr. Lutz, the Keynesian definitions do not allow us to distinguish between investment financed out of inflationary credit or dishoarding from investment financed out of current supply of voluntary savings. 5. Not ex ante equality. As pointed out by Oholin, the equality between saving and investment is an ex post equality and not an ex ante one. 2. The functional equality. Equality between saving and investment in the functional or schedule sense is brought about by the adjusting mechanism of income as distinct from the classical view of variations in the rate of interest. In this sense, saving and investment are equal only at the equilibrium level of income. Income is functionally related to saving and investment. When saving is more than investment, income falls. And when investment is more than saving, income rises. Page 151. This dynamic process of changes in income, saving and investment will continue till saving and investment are not only equal but also in equilibrium. This is illustrated in the table given below. So we have a table. Table 1, saving investment equality. All rupees are in crores. There are four columns. First column is the income, second column is saving, third column is investment, and fourth column is income movements. The entries in the table are as follows. Income 100, saving minus 15, investment 10. Income 200, saving 0, investment 20. Income 300, saving 15, investment 30. Income 400, saving 30, investment 40. Income 500, saving 45, investment 50. So all this, the income movements is called expansion. Then we have the underlined entries. Income 600, saving 60, investment 60. This is equilibrium. After that we have the contraction income movements, in which we have income 700, saving 75, investment 70, income 800, saving 90, investment 80, income 900, saving 105, investment 90. Returning to the text, table 1 shows that so long as investment is greater than saving, income contributes to increase till it reaches the income level of rupees 600 crores, where saving and investment are in equilibrium at rupees 60 crores each. But after this point, saving exceeds investment and the equilibrium is reached when income contracts and again reaches equilibrium level of rupees 600 crores. The equilibrium process of saving investment equality is shown in figure 2. Income is measured horizontally and saving and investment vertically. So, briefly explaining the figure, we have income on the x-axis and saving and investment on the y-axis. We have the SS curve which passes through the x-axis, so a portion of the curve is below the x-axis. Then it is a rising curve as we move towards the right-hand side on the x-axis. We have the II curve which starts at a point on the y-axis and it is a very slow slope rising curve. The point where SS and II meet is point E. Corresponding to point E, the income is a Y. Now, if we increase the income to Y2, then the point on the SS curve is S2 and the point on the II curve is I2. And if we decrease the income to Y1, then the point on the SS curve is S1 and the point on the II curve is I1. So returning to the text, SS is the saving curve and II the investment curve. When income is OY1, investment is greater than saving, that is I1 Y1 is greater than S1 Y1. Higher investment will lead to a rise in income and saving via the multiplier process till saving and investment are equal at the equilibrium income level OY, represented by the point of intersection E of II and SS curves. When income is OY2, saving is greater than investment, S2Y2 is greater than I2Y2. This will bring a fall in income via the reverse operation of the multiplier till saving and investment are equilibrated at OY income level. Whenever there is a gap between saving and investment, income rises or falls till the equilibrium level is reached. Thus, saving and investment are equal only in equilibrium. Writing about the merits of this approach, Kurihara observes that the Keynesian savings and investment schedules are, to general equilibrium analysis, what the Marshallian supply and demand curves are to partial equilibrium analysis. The modern income analysis makes use of the functional or schedule concepts of saving and investment in order to put life into dead figures, that is, to emphasize the behavior of the economy as a whole instead of statistical result of that behavior. Note 2, K. Kurihara, opposite page 76-77. Other views. Some of the critics of Keynes, especially Robertson and the Swedish economist Oholin and others, did not agree with him that saving and investment are necessarily equal. The Robertsonian approach. Robertson's approach involves period analysis. He defines saving as the difference between yesterday's income and current consumption expenditure, that is, ST is equal to YT minus 1 minus CT, where YT minus 1 is yesterday's income and current income consists of current consumption and current investment, that is, YT is equal to CT plus IT. Page 152. Thus, Robertson defines investment in the Keynesian sense as expenditure on capital goods in the current period. It follows from the Robertsonian definitions of saving and investment that they are not necessarily equal. This can be shown symbolically as ST is equal to YT minus 1 minus CT, YT minus 1 is equal to CT plus ST, and YT is equal to CT plus IT, or YT minus 1 is equal to CT plus IT minus CT plus ST, which is equal to IT minus ST. Thus, current income exceeds yesterday's income, provided current investment does not equal current saving. It is only when current investment equals current saving that income It is only when current investment equals current saving that current income would equal yesterday's income. Since current income cannot equal yesterday's income, therefore saving and investment are not necessarily equal. Dr. Lutz regards Robertson's analysis more realistic than Keynes's because of the time lag involved between receipt and expenditure. The Robertsonian approach is dynamic as it is based on period analysis, whereas the Keynesian approach is static. But Professor Klein does not agree with Lutz that the Robertsonian analysis of saving and investment is dynamic in the true sense. In his words, Robertson's definitions are dynamic only in the most trivial sense. They, that is definitions, define observed aggregate at different points of time, but they give no functional relation to economic behavior so that one can solve for each variable in the system as a function of time alone. Robertson did not realize the existence of a consumption schedule, a saving schedule, or an investment schedule. The Swedish approach. The Swedish economists Oholin, Lundberg, Lindhall, and Myrdal have defined saving and investment in ex-ante and ex-post senses. Ex-ante magnitudes are anticipated, desired, expected, or planned, while ex-post magnitudes are actual or realized. Thus, ex-ante saving and investment are those which people plan or desire to make. On the other hand, ex-post saving and investment are those which people actually make. The Swedish economists point out that ex post saving and investment are always equal. But ex ante saving and investment are not necessarily equal, because people who plan to save and to invest are different sets of people. So long as savers and investors are influenced by different motives and belong to different groups, ex ante saving and ex ante investment are not necessarily equal. If ex ante investment exceeds ex ante saving, business activity will expand and income will rise. Saving out of increased income will raise ex post saving to the level of ex post investment, so that both are equal at higher level of income. Conversely, when ex ante saving exceeds ex ante investment, business activity will fall and income will decline. Saving out of reduced income will reduce ex post saving to the level of ex post investment, so that both are equal at a lower level of income. It is only when income is constant that ex ante saving will equal ex ante investment, and they are equal when the economy is in equilibrium. This is illustrated in figure 3. Unfortunately, I am not going to explain this figure 3. You will have to refer to the digitized version. The equilibrium of the economy is shown at point E in panel A of the figure, where the aggregate demand curve C plus I intersects the aggregate supply curve represented by the 45 degree line Y is equal to C plus I, and OY level of income is determined. Corresponding to this income level, saving curve S, which is a function of Y, and investment curve I equal at point R in panel B of the figure. Here, ex post saving equals ex post investment. Suppose at this level ex ante investment exceeds ex ante saving in the economy by EF in panel A and by RL in panel B of the figure. They are shown by the curves C plus I plus delta I and I plus delta I respectively in the figure. As a result of increased ex ante investment, business activity also rises. The level of employment output and income also increases to OY1 when the aggregate supply curve 45 degrees line intersects the new aggregate demand curve C plus I plus delta I at point G. At this income level, ex ante investment equals ex ante saving and ex post investment equals ex post saving. This is shown in panel B of the figure by point M, where the rising saving curve S, which is a function of Y, intersects the increased investment curve I plus delta I. We may conclude with Professor Sapiro that ex post saving and investment can only be equal, and that ex ante saving and ex ante investment can be equal. Page 153. Selected readings. J.M. Keynes, The General Theory of Employment, Interest and Money, 1936. A. H. Hansen, A Guide to Keynes, 1953, Chapter 2. F. A. Lutz, The Outcome of Saving Investment Decisions, Q. J. E., August 1938. L. R. Klein, The Keynesian Revolution, 1952. Exercises. Question 1. Critically examine the ex ante and ex post approaches to the interrelations of saving and investment. 2. Saving and investment are always equal. Saving and investment are equal in equilibrium. Explain these statements. 3. Explain and reconcile the following statements. A. Saving is always identical with investment. B. Saving is equal to investment only when the economy is in equilibrium. With this, we come to the end of chapter 18.